This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning. Welcome back to the second hour of the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Open Line Fun Sunday. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman.
And I'm Captain Benny Hatton.
Producing the Outdoor Show.
That's me, Leslie T. Travis.
Well.
Yeah.
How about it?
Okay. It's been pretty good conversation so far. I've learned a couple of things.
Have you?
I always learn a couple of things. You know, that's one of the things I like about this show. I learn a couple of things. I don't fish. I don't hunt. I like to shoot guns, but I'm not a fisher person or a hunting person, but I still learn a lot about the ecosystem, about how the government works around with all the Coast Guard and rules and stuff like that. So
right.
Those are important things to know. It's always good to learn something.
Well, that's good. That I guess everything's working.
I think that's what a lot of people listen for. They learn something new every day.
Well,
either that or they just think we're funny.
Well, we got a good bunch. It's all good.
Uh-huh.
Well, let's move right along. We do have some phone lines available if you care to call us. Open Line Sunday, 713-572-4610.
That's 713-572-4610.
Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. All right, let's go to Wayne on line one. Wayne, good morning. You're on the Outdoor Show.
Good morning, Captain Mickey. A couple of questions, please. When you're fishing in the morning, like from 5 to 6 o'clock and throwing topwaters, have you found that it makes much difference if you're throwing a dark-colored lure or versus a light-colored lure for the contrast for those fish?
Well, if you're fishing in total darkness, you definitely want something that's going to silhouette, and at 5 o'clock in the morning, it's totally dark. You know, it depends on what you're throwing, too. If you're throwing a silent topwater, yeah. If you're throwing a noisy topwater, you know, like maybe a skitterwalk or even especially what's that loud, raspy mirror lure? Not the sea dog.
We throw the sea dog.
Sea dog, yeah. But, you know, it depends on the bait, too, and the situation, how choppy the water is, how slick the water is. I'm not a real big fan of topwaters when it's real slick. You tend to spook a few fish with it, especially if you're fishing real shallow and got a lot of sunlight. Now, as the day goes on and the sun gets up, if it's a topwater bite that you're kind of on a pattern in the middle of the summer like we are now, that's when as you get a real bright contrast with even stained or clear water, I like that chrome and blue. The sun reflects it really beautifully. Plus, it's easy to see, too. It's you can keep an eye on it better. And that's kind of what I always did in the past is if visibility wasn't good, I'd throw something bright and flashy where I could see it and keep an eye on it to know whether I'm getting swirls at it or water pushing up behind it. That way you can keep an eye on your bait better. You know, a lot of times when you go to these darker baits and dark conditions, you can't see your lure, so it's just strictly feel. There's no watching it, which is a good way to teach somebody how to fish with topwaters. That's the biggest mistake they make is when they get a blow-up or a fish on it, they set the hook when the fish is not on it. And I always try to teach my guys to, as you're walking that topwater, starting it and stopping it, stay in contact with it and try to look away from it and that way, when you do get a real strike, don't set the hook until you feel something. A lot of people will see the strike but don't feel anything, but they'll jerk the lure away from them. They'll jerk it out of the water. We've all been guilty of that. Get so excited.
Your adrenaline gets pumping.
Oh, yeah. Hey, when you're in them good and you're getting millions of blow-ups and everything, it you tend to react that way.
Does Mirror Lure make a good chrome and blue lure?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they make them in all their, you know, whether it's the Sea Dog or the Top Dog Junior or the Top Dog. You know, I've always been a real fan of the Top Dog Junior. I like it. It's got that good rattle tone. It's got a good knock in it. You know, as far as a pure top water, I like the Skitter Walk because I like the tone of it. And, you know, the Skitter Walk reminds me a lot of the old Jumpin' Minnows back in the day. It's got that good rattle tone to it, and it rides and wakes in the water just like that bait did back in the day. And it was a shame that they ruined that bait. But
the only thing it doesn't do, it used to that Jumpin' Minnow, when you stop it, the tail would go down.
Yeah, you know, but some of these, the Skitter Walks I use, you get a little bit of tail drift with
do
it.
Do you?
Yeah, when you stop it, the head will stick up a little. But it's, you know, everybody's got their own opinions on top waters. It, you know, best top water to throw is the one the fish are biting the best. You know,
one you're confident.
That's throwing. It. And, you know, we've seen it all. I tell you, a thing we don't do a lot of anymore is throw a lot of red fins, broken backs, or straight backs. We don't throw a lot of stick baits like we did, but we don't have the big fish we once did either. Now, you want to talk about a big fish getting bait, was that straight back red fin. Man, we started throwing that back in the 80s, and good Lord have mercy. We thought we were on big trout throwing mirror lures and other baits till we started throwing that bait. Jesus.
You could load up a stringer, huh?
You could if you wanted to kill them all. I did one day. I hit my I was in trout heaven, so to speak, and that's when I had my best stringer ever, and that was on a chrome and blue straight back. Middle of the day, 12 noon, the mother load, I was on them.
Unbelievable. The second question, Mickey, what sort of knot do you prefer to tie those topwaters to?
I tie a knot I learned when I was a little bitty kid growing up fishing saltwater. The old timers called it a double barrel knot. Now it's called an improved clinch or a Berkeley trilene knot. You know, there's a lot of good knots. Palomar's good. That double barrel knot, I like it because I have a double wrap over the eye of the lure I just tied on. And you just twist it and then go back through the loop away from you and cinch it down. And that is a bulletproof knot. It always has been. I use it for a lot of applications. And then a lot of times, you know, if I'm tying a fluorocarbon onto a jig head, I'll use an overhand loop knot. I'll tie that and leave that loop in there. It works like a swivel. It gives you that extra action on that bait. That's a, you know, that's good to tie with a topwater also. And especially when you're walking a dog with it, just an overhand loop knot. But I like the knot I tie for all applications because I have double line on the eye of the lure that I just tied it on.
It's not going to come off.
No, it's not going to come off. That knot is not going to break.
Super, super.
Now, if you don't tie it properly, it'll come untied.
Right.
A lot of people, they go through the loop the wrong way, and then when they cinch it down, they'll be fishing. All of a sudden, they reel in a pig's tail. You know, the line's curly-cue, and they tied it improperly.
So I'll go look on the Internet and see how to tie that sucker.
Yeah,
and,
it's real easy. I just take and hold the lure in the eye facing me, and with my right hand, I run the line through the loop, of, you know, the eye of the lure. Then I'll come back around and go through it again in the same direction, and then I'll take and change, put that lure in my right hand, and I'll take my left hand and take the tag part and hold it against the base of the line after I've got my loop there, and I'll wrap it 5 to 7 times away from me, not coming at me, but going away from me, and then I'll take that tag in, and I'll go back through the loop, my double loop away from me, and then grab the tag in with my teeth and then hold the line with my left hand and just cinch it down. And that knot right there will be there till the end of time. We tied that a lot back in the day because when I grew up fishing, we threw, you know, braided Dacron. That was a good braided Dacron knot. It works great on the braid we use these days. Works great on monofilament. And it's a superior knot.
Who taught you that knot, Mickey?
guys like Rudy Greger and my dad and Harb Bouton, Stan Slayton, all them old timers that fished West Bay back in the day. That's what they tied. Rex Caton.
Right.
All the Lacys, you know, everybody I grew up fishing with down there on the West End. That was what we tied.
Sound like a plan. All right. I appreciate it. Enjoy your show. I've enjoyed it for 30 or 40 years. So
keep up
the good work.
Yeah, you keep up the good work too, Wayne. See you, man.
All right. We'll see
all
you.
All right, buddy. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right.
One of the major successes of that knot, though, is you go through that the eye, that bait, twice.
Mm-hmm. And you get double line strength on the knot.
Double line strength, and you're pulling against that.
The harder you pull, the tighter it gets.
Yeah. It's just like you go to tie up a boat or something or another.
Mm-hmm.
People want to put two half hitches on there and let it go at that. Well, you're pulling against the half hitch itself. But if you wrap that line around a piling or something and then do your half hitches, it's going to hold because then it's pulling against what's around the piling.
Yeah. And if you tie your boat off to a piling, put two loops around it. Don't just do it one time because then your boat will slide up and down it.
Yeah.
Wrap it twice and then half hitch it off on your cleats.
And it's the same principle as you're going through with that tying that bait. You got that double loop through there, and it's pulling against that double loop.
And it's not going to slip.
And not going to slip, right.
Mm-hmm. Plus, you have the double security of, you got double line around that eye that of the hook or the lure, and you're not going to – the single strand will break.
Yes, it will.
Double will not break.
And we always like to think that there's no imperfections in the eye of that lure. But every once in a while, you find something other that's got a little burr or something on it.
Especially jig heads.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, everybody has their own way of doing things, and I'm not trying to talk down to people or anything. I'm just giving you my opinion on the state of our fishery, the way I fish, how I like to fish. And I've always could consider myself a little unique by the way I fished in state of, I don't like crowds. I like to do my own thing, and I would rather fish alone and catch a handful of fish than to fish in the middle of a crowd and load the boat up with fish.
I cannot stand fishing in crowds.
I mean, if I wanted to be with those people, I'd ask them to go with me, or I went with them, you know.
So when we're going?
Whenever you want to. Call me.
Call me.
Call me fat boy, but call me.
But call me.
I remember that article Jack Conway wrote that time. Call me fat boy, but call me. Now we got Ray Stanley hanging on. We got a break in 3 minutes. He don't mind going on hold. I can do that to him. Ray, good morning. What's going on, Mr. Riverboat?
Well, I tell you what, I'll go on hold for you any day.
Attaboy. That's what I want to hear.
same goes for you, Captain Benny Hatton.
You the man.
What's happening?
Well, a couple of days ago, maybe last week, we were talking, doing some little bit of alligator talk and talking about, going up. Well, out there at my place in the marsh, we all felt like we're kind of part of the family with those guys.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of one of the big lessons that I learned early on when we first built that place out there was, you better make sure that on a good hot August day that you run right down the middle across Bayou or Reds or whatever bayou that you were traversing, because if you got too close to the edge, those gators that are sunning themselves along the edge, they'll split for the water or dive for the water, and if you're too close to the side
they'll
of that
they'll end up in the boat.
I used to tell everybody, in fact, I remember when Wayne Webb was a young guy, when he was first, he and Scott and all of them were all out there, and I said, listen, if that gator jumps in the boat, don't you jump out, he's going to be trying to jump out. Anyway, and I've had a couple of them jump in that airboat. Of course, thank goodness you're up high enough to where they can flop around and get on out, but if somebody's sitting down in one of the seats down below, well, it gets to be a little dicey there for a minute. But they're not aggressive. The only time that we ever found that they were aggressive is when they had hatch. And
when they're on a nest, I got a nest full of eggs, or they just got a fresh hatch of babies. Man, they're very protective.
Yeah, they'll do that. I don't know that they'll attack you, but they'll scare the heck out of you.
Well, ask them folks in Florida that ended up in the belly of alligators and see. Look at that guy. What was that over around Beaumont or Port Arthur about 4 years ago? It says, "Do not waters." Alligators present, do not swim, and that guy come in drunk that night or whatever and dove off the pier with his friends, and that big gator in that pond ate him.
He wound up being gator bait.
He was drunken gator bait. Remember that?
Well, I do remember that. And of course, you know, Denny and I.
I'm not going to give him the chance, Ray. I'm not going to swim. I mean, that's like swimming with sharks. If you're offshore and you got a big hammerhead swimming around the boat, yeah, let's go ahead and dive in and take a dip.
I'm not suggesting even in the slightest way.
No, no, you're not.
But, you know, Denny and I got in the lottery and got picked to be in that pilot program over at J.D. Murphy over there for when they were coming up with the all the different ways of harvesting the alligators when they took them off the endangered species and started
right.
Letting us harvest a few of them. Mm-hmm. And that was really quite interesting. I'll tell you what, the first time we got one of them actually in the boat and, you know, taped their jaws shut and found out that they'll kick around in that boat for an hour or so after you think you've shot them dead.
Yeah, and hey, you know, having the mouth taped up, the really bad part is the tail. That tail can do some damage to you. Hang on, Ray. Let me do a quick break. I'll come right back, and we'll do some more gator talk. Hang with you,
I got
man.
It. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a couple of questions.
If you want to hunt fish in Texas, better listen to the Outdoor Show.
All right, well, I'm going to quit pestering y'all. God bless you, and y'all have a great morning.
All right, well, you're not pestering us. That's what we do. Is we love to get pestered.
Oh, man, I love listening to you guys.
Well, thank
oh,
you.
My God.
Man, we love doing that.
I'll be back.
Get off my plane.
You a bounty hunter?
Man, he's got to do something for a living these days.
Dying ain't much of a living, boy.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
Now, time for more of the Outdoor Show, presented by Hook's Bit Performance Rods on Sports Radio 610.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 519 in the Bayou City. All right, let's get back to Ray. We were talking gators. All right, Ray. You know, it's
so
not that far away for gator season, by the way, now that you brought it up.
No, it's just around the corner, and, you know, we were in that pilot program, and of course, in those days, you even had to get your hook and your leader from Parks and Wildlife because it was a stainless steel hook that they had made especially for harvesting gators. So in case it broke off the leader and they swallowed it, it would be something that, and can you believe this, that an alligator's system could digest a stainless steel hook that they could actually digest. It tells you how vile their innards are.
Yep.
But anyway, you know, they teach us how to, and we use beef hearts, and I don't know where in the heck they came up with all those, but that's what we used, and you'd make a little cantilevered thing, and we'd survey the, you know, how those sections are over there, different little, what they call compartments.
Yeah.
And we'd put that beef heart just the right distance above the water to get the biggest gator in the pond. So it would be positioned not to get the smaller ones. And, it was an interesting, really interesting thing. I did learn one thing though. Denny and I got in the very, very first, alligator season that we had there in Chambers County.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had that acreage out there. I think at that time we had two permits for the 1,000 acre. Well, Delholm gave us their 5,500 acres, so we got the permits. So the first one we got was wound up being second place at the Anahuac Gator Fest at 13-6, I think it was. Anyway, out of that gator, I made myself the most expensive boots that I'll ever have in my life. You know, there wasn't, but maybe, seems to me like there was only two places in the United States that would actually tan a gator hide, whatever year that was. Seems to me like that was early 80s. And I sent mine over to the place in Tennessee and got it back. Got it back in black, gorgeous, gorgeous hide. Got it, took it over to Stelzik's, got them to make me a pair of boots out of it, and had enough left out of it to make Carolyn a small purse. And by the time I got that hide tanned and colored and back and over to Stelzik's and those boots made, I could have bought me 15 pair of Lucchese's for the price that I paid for doing that. But it still is. And they've shrunk to the point where I can't even get my fist in them hardly now. But either that or I've gotten fatter.
No.
But anyway, that's just kind of a story about the early gator. You know, they were so interested in trying to find a way to successfully harvest the gators where you would actually wind up with the critter, because in those days, especially our friends out in Cove, were shooting them. And of course, when you shoot one dead, it goes to the bottom like a rock.
Yeah, it does.
And then about a week later, it floats back up all bloated. You can smell it for 15 miles in all directions.
Yeah, once they gas up, man.
Boy, we had a few of them just because of natural attrition that would die on our place out there. And, boy, we'd get to smelling that, and we'd go find out what it was. Then we'd shoot them again to try to pop them where they'd go back down again, and the nutrient would start eating them.
Well, anyway, they're getting payback on them. How many nutrients have been eaten by alligators in the marsh out there?
Yeah, that's,
you know,
right.
And that was good bait for them. A lot of guys, they'd bait their gator lines. They'd take and catch nutria. They'd shoot them with 22s or whatever, and then they'd cut them in half and put them on a big old hook. You know,
we had some Boone and Crockett nutria behind
didn't we? Golly. I think they've thinned them out pretty good back there now. They were eating that marsh up, and they put a bounty out on them, turned everybody loose, told them to shoot them up.
Well, Chambers put a bounty on them, and that solved that problem. And but, you know, we'd shoot them along that thing and turn them into good big old blue clawed crabs behind that levee. You know, you'd get a 48
quart. There
is
some crabs behind that levee, man.
Oh, I'll tell you, we'd get what was it, James Wilburn? Who was the Wilburn kid that lived out there?
It was Larry, wasn't Larry Wilburn?
Yeah, Larry,
Larry Wilburn, yeah.
He'd let us fish on that pier right there by their boat ramp, by their airboat ramp right there close to the lodge. And a 48 quart igloo cooler in just no time at all was
hey, those
common.
Crabs were so big and so plentiful. They probably still are. You could lay a chicken neck on the bank and they'd crawl up on the bank and eat it.
You know,
they were starving to death in there, man.
I used to make my grandkids catch them on a chicken neck or whatever we were using, because you didn't have to do that. You could just walk along the bank there and just scoop them up with a net. I wouldn't let them do that, but. Anyway, here we go, talking about the old days again.
Make them catch them. Boy, hey, you know, the best crabbing spot in the whole Galveston complex back in the day when I was a kid was Lynchburg Ferry Road, buddy. My mother used to take us over there, and, I mean, pie plate-sized blue crabs. I mean, monsters.
You know, it still must be, because there's still a good many people do that. Of course, that road's so narrow now, you're really cheating death to do anything along that road now.
Yep, I remember those days. It used to be a lot better back in the day.
Well, and it must still be. And, you know, Highland Shores Road, going down Highland Shores there in White's Lake, has still got a lot of blue crabs in it, too. So, well, anyway. Those are some fun stories from the past, that's for sure.
Yep. Yes, sir, it was.
Benny, would you like to have a big old bunch of blue crabs to fix up this afternoon? Would you steam them or would you boil them?
I'd boil them.
Boy, we got to where we steamed ours with bay leaf and all that stuff. And
yeah, and you got, hey, on crabs, you got to have Old Bay seasoning.
Oh, Old
man.
Bay
ain't nothing seasoning. Better than Old Bay seasoning, man.
And plenty of cayenne.
That's it.
It needs to burn your lips.
That's what you want, because that way it's an excuse to drink one more cold beer with them.
Well, and, you know, Benny, we always preferred to do the steaming because, you know, you could get it ginned up quicker rather than waiting for a big old pot of water to boil up. But yeah. One thing about it, it's equally as good.
That's it. It's all good.
Well, let's let somebody else
but
get
on. But we're
on
a dark moon, they're not as full. That's what the old timers used to say. You got to catch them crabs and crawfish on a full moon.
I'm here
fullest.
To say that that's a fact.
That is a fact.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely, because they eat all night long.
That's it.
And but anyway,
boy.
Well, let's see if anybody.
I guess
else
I've been on a full moon story. Pattern for about a year and a half now.
In fact, I think you know, out there in our duck house, that's where we howled at the moon all the time.
I know that's right. All right, Ray. Well, hey, it's good to hear from you, man. Thanks for bringing back some old memories.
Talk to you later,
all right,
my man.
Buddy, see you. Later. All right. We didn't even talk about props or race boats, did we?
Nope.
It didn't even go off. All right, let's go to Kim on line two. Kim, good morning. You're on the Outdoor Show.
Good morning. How are you?
Couldn't be better. How about you?
Headed to the lake again.
Uh-oh.
I sent you a picture yesterday of this giant brim that I caught on Lake Conroe, and like dummies, we didn't measure or weigh the thing, but it could have been a lake record. I just wanted you to see
that. Where'd you send it to? I don't remember getting it.
I sent it to Leslie's email.
Oh, okay. Leslie said she just forwarded it to me.
Okay, yeah. I caught it on a rattle trap, of all things.
Brim on a rattle trap.
How about
that's
that?
Crazy.
Yeah, you have to look at that picture. We're at the marina right now, so we're pulling in here. But when you get time, check that picture out. And I don't even know what the lake record for bluegill is on Lake Conroe. But
I know a couple of guys that probably would, either Richard, the fish dude, or Tex Bonin. And one of them will know, especially Tex.
Right. And we're pulling into April Plaza, so that's where Tex is at. So I'll try to catch him
later.
Yeah,
find old Tex and pick his brain about it, because he'll know for sure. I know Tex will. He's the brim man out of there. He loves catching them big old pictures. He calls them picture brim.
Yeah.
Hey, that's pretty cool. A giant brim on a rattle trap. That's awesome.
Well, I just wanted to call and share that information with you. And
okay.
When I get the
email, I'll open it up and take a gander at it.
All right. Nice talking to you. Have
okay, Kim.
Day.
You have a good day, too. Nice hearing from you. See you. All right. All right.
Think she's going to throw that rattle trap again today?
I saw the picture. It's pretty big.
Yeah. Pretty big.
Pretty big, huh?
That's a surprise. I guess they were bass fishing.
I guess. I've caught brim on the little spinner baits.
I've caught a lot of them on
beetle spins and stuff like that. Yeah.
And we used to throw a little bait for them at some of the lakes I grew up fishing. Remember they were called a shyster?
I remember that.
It was like an open spinner, you know, had a little spinner in the front and with a little bucktail and the tiny treble hook, like a number 10 treble hook on the back of it.
Right.
And brim and crappie loved them. We used to walk the shorelines throwing that. Stepping around water moccasins and everything else.
Well, that was just par for the course, man.
Yeah. Well, critters. Well, we're caught up here. We have open lines available. If you care to give us a call here at the Outdoor Show, it is Open Line Fun Sunday. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. 713-572-4610.
That's 713-572-4610.
Another Sunday, halfway through the show.
Yes, sir.
It's What time is the Astros game today, Leslie? You should know that right off the top of your head. It's 1 o'clock on Sundays, isn't it? I think it's 1. It was 3 yesterday. Get that over with, and I may do some cooking today. It's going to be hot, though.
Yeah, it'll be hot.
It's going to be hot.
Mm.
110.
110. First pitch. Well, yeah, I was riding in this morning, and one of the news stations called the Detroit Tigers the Detroit Lions. You know, and they just don't know the baseball terminology. I hate it when somebody goes, you know, they'll say the Astros won 2-0. You know, instead of saying 2-0, they'll say 2-0.
2-0.
2-0.
2-0.
It's 2-0 in baseball. It's 2-0. And they won, night before last? It's 3-0 in last night. Yesterday, 9-1. So they need to go ahead and finish off the Detroit Tigers, not the Lions. Well, I didn't get that email, Leslie. I'm looking. I want to see that brim. I didn't get it. Well, anyway, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. 713-572-4610.
That's 713-572-4610.
I mean, Benny, your opinion, what would you want out of a fishery? Would you rather have it like it is now, millions of little pencil trout throw back and, you know, keepers up to 2 and 3 pounds, or would you rather have an overabundance, you know, a lot of fish from small up to, you know, big lunker trout everywhere?
Well, I'd like to have the opportunity to, on any given day that you go out, think you at least had the opportunity to catch something another over 8 pounds.
Yeah.
That's not to say that you would every time you went out, but you would have the faith that there was a great possibility that you could do it.
Right.
And we don't have that now. I mean, let's face it. We think we're doing great if we can find a 4 pounder to come out.
Yeah.
When we go out, and so you can catch fish now. There's no doubt about it. You can still catch fish, and there's fish out there to be caught. But you're not going to go out there and catch on a fairly consistent basis, you know, 5-6 pound trout, even 7 or 8 pound trout. I mean, it's just not going to happen.
I agree. I'm with you. It just depends on what the majority of the people want and what Texas Parks and Wildlife, how they want to pursue it and how they want to do it.
Well, I think what you'll find is if you get your fishery where you have your large fish, you'll have your small ones.
Well, yeah, that's
there's no doubt. If you protect your or treat your fishery in such a way where you're going to have the large fish, the small ones are going to be there.
Well, yeah, and you're going to get your huge biomass from the big ones because they produce more.
They produce more,
no doubt.
And like you said, you know, your producers are going to be somewhere in that, the big producers,
18 to 25 inch range.
18 to 25
They're the
inch,
ones that spawn multiple times a year,
and
we get a lot of spawns out of them. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Open Line Fun Sunday. 541 in the Bayou City. Look at that brim that Kim caught. It's got a big old knot on its head like a bull dolphin or any big fish does. You know, it's quite big. I don't know what size rattle trap that was, but it really doesn't matter because the fish is big. She's not holding it out either. She's just holding it straight up by the line, with a trap hanging out of its mouth. And But we did get a caller say the state record or Conroe Lake record brim is 2.99. We'll just call that a 3-pounder. So I have no way of, you know, being able to scale this picture and tell how big this brim was, what it weighed. But it, I don't think I've ever caught a brim that big. But I'm not catching any trout that big right now. Let's get to our phone lines. Let's go to Captain James Plog on one. I knew we were going to him because Stevie Ray Vaughan. Can't miss it. What's up, Plog? What's happening?
Oh, man, I figured I'd bone up some of y'all's tang.
Hey, I saw that tarpon y'all caught yesterday. That was nice. What did that one weigh, or guesstimation?
Oh, he was about $130.
$130. Just
he was nice. We had one bite. It was, which is good. Anytime you can catch one, it's good, but there's a lot of people hit the end of them jetties yesterday thinking they're going to be blazing up, be big time. They teeny shoe flop and mullet pounded all the way out to wherever they were going. It was it wasn't nice. I mean, it never was nice.
Yeah.
Right there by 11 o'clock, a little bit of white cap finally went away. You know, we saw, that's when we caught that fish, actually. We saw just a handful of fish, but it never got nice. And then it started blowing pretty good in the afternoon. But it was 2.5 foot, you know, not even a 3-footer. So I guarantee you, there's a lot of people hitting them jetties thinking they was going to blaze off, go 80 miles, 80 miles higher. It probably didn't happen.
You know,
I mean, you could go. Don't get me wrong. It was
right.
It was not nice.
But it wasn't ice cream.
I saw
some photos from offshore. People were sending me text with fish they caught, and they were way out though. You know, because they went snapper fishing, it was glassy out there in the photos. It looked glassy anyway.
Once you get out there, you know, sometimes that wind will drop off to get away from that land.
Right.
But just like this morning, you know, the 20-mile buoy's broke. So you got to roll out there. I want to say it's 42019 or 42035. Get them mixed up. Anyway, you can go to the 60-mile buoy, and like right now they got it like 13.1 knots, gusting to like 15.7.
Right.
It was like 2.3 foot, which is, you know, basically 3 foot.
Yeah.
So, you know, it ain't nothing you can't go in, but it's blowing out there this morning though.
Yeah.
But it calms down after the sun comes up, the wind goes away a little while, it blows at night. So,
I'm showing it's calm all down the west side from Eagle Point up to Morgan's Point, you know, like 5 at Clear Lake Channel entrance, and everywhere else is calm. Now Smith Point's showing 9 miles an hour, up byway showing 15.
Man, that thing's been showing 15 for like 4 days.
I think that thing is, I don't know. When I left my house this morning, it was blowing 15.
No, it's blowing at my house. It's blowing 14, 15.
It's showing 12 to 13 at Tiki right now. It's showing 17 on the beachfront there by.
There you go.
And,
there you go, that's right.
Now, down by the pass, it's showing 9. Jamaica's Beach is showing 4. Rollover's showing 11, and the jetties are showing 11. And then offshore, it's 14, and another one's 17.
Where are you getting that 14 offshore at? Where are you getting that at?
It's straight out from the jetties. It must be that buoy you're talking about, 019, showing 14.
Yeah, that's about right. 14 to 17, that is what it is. But, no, it was fine. The water's still good. You bust about 35 foot, and you go catch your sailfish. I mean, it's beautiful. No, the fishing, you know, you could go, but like I say, there's a lot of people hitting them jetties saying it's going to be glass, they're going to blaze off. That's what we come out of the river right there, and I'm like, man, this is going to be a long day.
Yeah.
But, no, what I thought about really is but anybody wants to go tarpon fishing, we got plenty of days in August.
It's fixed to be y'all's time, man. August and September coming up. That's poon season, buddy.
You know, but what I tell people, it's just like going blue marlin fishing. Well, man, we get some tarpon hockey, we get 10 or 12 of them. Look, you're fishing for a bite. You know, you have to understand the game. If you want to catch a tarpon, we're lucky to catch one. Hey, you might catch 5. Everybody in the boat, we may catch 10, you know, but normally it doesn't work like that. But Cameron called me. They were on the way in yesterday. They had one slabbed in the back of the boat, and he ended up weighing 486.
Wow.
So I think they finished 5th overall, I think, Mickey, in, right. You know, this is the biggest tournament on the planet. You
yeah,
know?
It is. Was this that 790-something still leading?
795, a boat called the Shockwave 1. But them boys on the done deal, that's our buddy John Goslin and Katie.
They
Goslin.
Had a 6-something, didn't they?
640-something. Katie yeah. was in the chair for like 8 hours.
8 hours?
8 hours. But let me tell you something. Robbie and John are real good friends. I've only met John a couple of times. But him and Robbie are good. They talk all the time. But let me tell you something. You have to take your hats off. I mean, even though, you know, that guy, he's never going to run out of money. There's no expenses. There's, you do whatever you need to do. But, man, when some people are that good, you just tip your hat to them, man, and say, hey, y'all are it. And this is the third time to win this. There's five tournaments and then this championship. They've done it three times, dude. Let me tell you something. They're the best of the best. Like even Cameron tell you, he said, them boys right there, they're another level, dude. But they hung with the big boys. I mean, 76.
And which boat is that you're talking about?
A boat called the Done Deal.
The Done Deal, yeah. I see them all the time. They're always in the hunt, every tournament.
Best, no, they are the hunt.
They are the hunt.
They're the best of the best, buddy. And him and Robbie, he'd rather catch a tarpon than do anything. But he's from home down there with all our buddies. Him and Robbie are real good friends. But I tell you what, them boys there don't play. When they show up, you better get your big boy pants on because they're good. So they ended up, long story short, they won the whole Triple Crown, the giant trophy. I don't know how much money. That tournament, Mickey, there's almost $2 million in it. So you don't know who's in the pot and who's not. So Cameron, man, I guarantee you, they probably just went to bed. But he'll call me some kind of day and let me know what, you know, because whoever got third place fish may not be in the optional pot money. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, you know, that fish of theirs should be worth $100,000. They did win first place dolphin, too. They had a 45-pound dolphin. Hey, Cameron saw him on a rip. And he rigged up a little hardtail on a spinning rod. Put that guy on the pile, and the guy pitched to him on a weed line.
45-pounder. That's a good Dorado there, buddy.
That may be worth $60,000, you know.
Well, that'd be leading the star tournament right now because a 38-15 is leading the star tournament.
Yeah, Cameron said he was on a rip. They saw him. They pitched to him. He was up in there.
Wow.
He said the weather was great. He said that was a really mean fish. He had him on the wire. Cameron fishes with 200. Get more bites on 200.
Right.
And he had that fish on the wire for like 3 minutes later, put a gap in it.
Man.
Yeah, he said he was digging. He said he was a mean fish.
Hey, Cameron, his little butt, man, I'm surprised he hadn't been pulled over before.
Hey, he's one of the best wildmen I've ever seen. He's got a feel for it, dude.
He does, man. He can make them dance down the side of that boat. Hey, like you, I used to watch you dance them tarpon down the side of that whaler out there. I said, look at Plog. That fish is bigger than him, and he's dancing with it all up and down the side of that boat, man.
Yeah, but them kids are all better than me. But, you know, you got to figure out when to let go. You're sitting there looking at you may have a $500,000 sitting there, and you got to have that feel to weigh. Okay, I better let him go. He said he let him go three times. He said the fourth time he got him, he said the fish kind of made him. He came up there, he said, the fish will always make a mistake. He said that fish made a little mistake. He got his head a little bit. And he said it was, you know, because they're using that light leader on that live bait. That's how they're getting all these bites.
Yeah.
Dude.
I mean, you know, 200-pound leader is not light for most of us, but for fishing for those kind of fish right there, that's like us using 10-pound leader material for these reds and trout we catch in the bay.
Exactly.
You got to be tender with them, man. You can't lean on them.
No, he's using some kind of way he rigged it. It's called a stiff rig. I'll even show you sometime. But
call it what? A stiff rig?
A stiff rig. Okay. Where he has his hook.
Right.
But, you know, they caught the state record. They were fishing 400 pounds. You know, you can lean on some 400 pounds now, but you're talking about a 500-pound fish, 200-pound leader. That's pretty big time.
That's like catching a lunker bass on brim tackle.
Ain't that the truth? So we'll see what they win, but hey, you know, they didn't win in fifth place, kind of like the fourth loser, but, you know, they're playing.
Yeah, but still, that's
all
the big boys, man. That's the elite of the billfish crew.
They ain't
you know?
No better. There is not any better.
No, there's not. Get your big boy pants on.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Now, I think they're coming home now. Depending on what they win, I think they're leading.
Now, Poco's next week. How many of those guys in that tournament are going to just come on down the coast and go fish Poco?
You know, Mickey, not many. I heard, and this is secondhand information. I'm sure somebody said, oh, you're an idiot. There's 900 boats. I think somebody told me at one point in time there wasn't but like 35 or 40 boats in Poco.
That's the least I've ever heard of.
You know, dude, them tournaments on each side of the river, every one of them tournaments were over $1 million. And, you know, look at the venue. They had the whole thing last night live. It was on live feed Facebook. You could watch the whole way in.
Right.
They're at the wharf in Alabama, giant boiler with smoke coming out of my, it was big time. You know, Porter County, you're going to sit there and swat mosquitoes.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be the biggest of the big, and it's like times passed it by. It's just not, you know.
Right.
And it's sad to me. I really, you know, I hate to see that. It used to be 100 boats with a waiting list, dude. You couldn't get in.
No, you couldn't.
So maybe there'd be a few. Well, like Bill Cannon's over there. The boat's coming home. He's fishing. You know, so there's some Texas boats over there that are coming home that'll fish.
Right. Now, what about the Bisbee's Black and Blue? Isn't that coming up this summer sometime, too?
I think, Mickey, those are in October, first part of October.
Okay, that's more in the fall than on the Pacific coast.
Yeah, that's when their big bite is over there.
Yeah.
And that's a $3 million tournament right there.
I got some buddies that won that one year from Baytown.
Yeah, that's big money.
Hazelwoods and Eccles. That was big, man.
Yeah, there's a fishing team on that side of the planet over there called Bad Company. It's a big Viking boat, and they're kind of like the done deal here in the Gulf. When them boys show up, you better get ready, because I think they won it maybe three times, maybe two for sure, maybe three.
Dang.
So, anyway, I already didn't call you about Archer. I was glad to catch a tarpon any time. It was great. But really,
hey, I'm glad you got to go, and good for Cameron, too, man. That's awesome. Blog family seems to be doing pretty well right now.
Hey, man, one of them woke up this morning, so I know it's a good day.
That's it. And Cameron just went to bed. We'll have to wait on him to wake up now.
Hey, he may have went to bed. He texted me one morning like 4:30, and I just listened to his voice and said, well, I promise you, you ain't been to bed yet, have you? No, but I'm all right.
Hey, them billfish tournament, that big party afterwards, that's it, man. That's good stuff.
That's
especially when you win some money, brother.
You ain't kidding. Well, I just want to holler at y'all.
That's them little, them young gladiators, man.
It ain't me no more, brother.
What are you going to fish for today?
I'm going to fish over here at Bucky's and get me a cup of coffee.
I got you. All right, dog. Well, hey, James, somebody wants to call you about a tarpon trip. How do they get a hold of you, man?
Hi, buddy. 409-935-7242.
All right, James. See you,
y'all.
All right. Oh, Plog. He cracks me up. Kayak Dave, hang with me. We're going to have to take our break, and we'll come back to you after the top of the hour. But
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.